May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There are a lot of fascinating places in Psalm 68, but this is one of the ones I've contemplated for a little while now. It says in verse 17, remember Psalm 68 is really about the presence of the Lord and where the Lord dwells and where the Lord moves and its effect on those who are godly and those who are ungodly. But the whole psalm is about just God's presence involved in warfare and just as a resting place for God. And so Psalm 68, I'll just read beginning in verse 15, and then what we'll look at is verse 17 and verse 18. Verse 15, a mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired as his abode? Surely the Lord will dwell there forever. So once again, he's speaking about dwelling and abiding in a place. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them, presence. The Lord is among them in holiness. You, Lord, have ascended on high, and you have led captive the captives. You have received gifts from men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord may dwell there. Again, about dwelling, being among them. There are places in Scripture where chariots can speak of metaphorically the spiritual chariots where the angels of God travel in, but I don't believe this is it at all. I believe he's talking about simply something or someone that carries his presence, because the context here, I think, dictates that. And when he says the chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands, the Lord is among them in holiness. You have ascended on high, and you have led captive captives and received gifts from among men. I believe the gifts that he receives are those captives who've now been led captive. When he ascended on high, captives have been led captive. Here's what I believe. I believe that the chariots are you and me. I believe that the chariots are the people that God has rescued out of captivity in the enemy and become his captives. And his captives have been taken captive to carry his presence. That's who you and I are. We're called to be people who carry his presence. That's the whole created in his image according to his likeness. He's placed his presence in us before the fall. When we become Christians, his presence is restored. That which was lost in Adam is restored so that we can reveal his likeness. We carry his image so that we can reveal his likeness. And in these scriptures, he says, these are, you know, it says an interesting thing in Ephesians 1. It says that we're also his inheritance. We know that he's our great inheritance, but we're also his inheritance. And part of that whole purpose of being his inheritance is so he has a place, a person, a people who will carry his presence and reveal his likeness. And he says, he is among them in holiness. The whole idea of being taken captive means that you've lost your will. Whether it's a bad thing, the more captive you become to the enemy, the less free will you have. The more captive you are to the Lord, the less free will you have. Your choice is only in who you're going to be captive to. But when the Lord comes and rescues us, and he takes captive those who are captives, we've now become his slaves. Mary said that she was, behold, the bondservant of the Lord. She was a volunteer slave of God because of love. And I believe those are the people who get to experience in conscious reality carrying the presence of the Lord, those who are now captive to the love of Christ, those who no longer have a will, because if you're a slave, you don't have a will. And for us as Christians, it's not just we say yes with a rebellious heart. Look what he says, even among the rebellious also, the Lord will dwell there. That God takes us out of the captivity of being rebellious to him and thus a slave to the enemy. He makes us his captives so that we can become his chariots. That's our great gift to him. I beseech you, brethren, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship. Why does he want our bodies? Because he wants us to be captive to him. Because he wants our bodies to become a chariot, a carrier of his presence. We've talked about this a lot over the years for CTKers. But Jesus lived in his body on earth and gave that body up for us. But you are now the body of Christ. And what he wants you to do is surrender to the fact that he didn't just rescue you so you could run around and do your own thing. He took you out of captivity to be a captive, to be volunteer prisoners of love. Like Paul, I am controlled, he said, by the love of Christ. Those are the people, the ones who are captive to Jesus, who are enslaved to him, who've lost their will to his because of love. They've sealed their heart for love for him. That's their life. Therefore, their will comes with that. Those are the ones who carry the presence of Jesus. Those are the people that we meet and we're stunned. We're confronted with the presence of Jesus because they're simply captives. The freedom of being a slave to Jesus is the most incredible way to live life there is. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, the interesting thing about that is there are no shortcuts. Somebody can lay hands on you and you can fall out on the floor, bounce around the pews. In the end, all that is to remind you how much he loves you so that your heart becomes more captive to him. It's in the end the captives who carry the presence of God.